would that be working with Chance or?
If Chance, the Rouser, or whoever.
Chance seems to be, I don't know how long he'll stick around, but he seems to be fairly accessible.
Yeah, no, he always is, yeah.
Judge, did you call the meeting to order?
I will call this meeting of the 2021 comprehensive land use plan together. Everyone is present. The person, Craig Albert, is on the line, has called in.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I did it, sorry.
Okay. All right, so we're just gonna quick, we don't have much in terms of PowerPoint today, but just review our timeline. Vision statement discussion again, which I think maybe just be continued dialogue. The main thing that we're gonna be doing is reviewing chapter 3. We have had COVID-related staffing issues. Primarily me and my children have been out of daycare for what will be almost a month soon. So we will have chapter 4 for you within the next 2 weeks, which would still give you 2 weeks to review prior to your next meeting. So our apologies for that. That'll be about it. So that being said, we're still, I believe, ahead of schedule from what our initial, what we initially planned for. We're here, I think we initially planned to have community facilities analysis to you in October, what would have been next month anyways. We'll end up getting that to you by the end of this month. September 28th would be two Tuesdays from now, and we'll just deliver hard copies to town for folks to come pick up. And we'll keep proceeding. The chapter that is sort of takes the most time for us is land use and growth management. We want to make sure we've got that correct. And our goal will be to have that for you in December. From our perspective, that should have us pretty well suited. You know, if by the end of the calendar year, this committee has received the draft material, we really feel like we've got almost 6 months to get it adopted locally, which is the real statutory trigger. It doesn't matter if you've got it certified by CRC. The goal is to have it adopted locally for compliance with 160D. So we feel like we're still moving right along. And just keep in mind that we will have some form of a workshop, likely in February, whatever form that may be. We'll discuss once we get a little bit closer to then, maybe similar format or more of an open house type thing where folks can just come in and ask questions if they would like. That's typically what we do. All right. So, last we met, we had a vision statement. I'm going to turn my chair here a bit. And we had a couple comments about it. Sam, let me see this. I'll read it out loud. Everyone else can read it. But the town of Curie Beach shall maintain and enhance our community to ensure we remain one of the most desirable coastal destinations in North Carolina. Curie Beach is a community known for its family-oriented accommodations, small shops and restaurants, and for its peaceful residential and natural areas. To preserve our unique community for the enjoyment of current and future generations, we shall strive to protect our small town ambiance and family-friendly character while maintaining and, where possible, enhancing quality of the national man-made environment. It is essential that we maintain the quality of life that makes Curie Beach a community that is a desirable place for visitors and residents alike. There's a couple minor comments, and we made a couple minor changes. I don't know, to what degree folks are feeling like this is pretty close, but we need some additional time. The other thing that we can do is when we deliver the next chapter to you, we can make sure we've got a printed statement of this for you to kind of take back with you. That being said, does anyone have, since we met last, is there any further thoughts about it or thoughts about this in general?
This is Craig. I think it looks good.
Okay.
Sometimes we get our vision statements so wordy that they, but it's good.
Okay.
I just think it's wordy.
It is wordy. I agree. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, maybe what Sam and I could take a look at it and see if there's, you know, something that we could pair off there.
I mean, if the committee's fine with it, I just want to make that.
Let's take the last sentence off.
You know, you could take off the last sentence. It's kind of redundant if you're trying to shorten it a little bit.
Sounds like everyone's pretty comfortable with that. Fantastic. Okay. Note. All right. Let's move right along here. Okay. So the main reason for our meeting tonight is to look over the homework, if you will, for you guys. Chapter 3 was provided at our last meeting. I hope that everyone that wanted to review it, they reviewed it. This is the first chapter where we actually get into some discussion of policy, and so those policies are contained at the end of your chapter. But before that, there's material related to natural hazards and some other things that we can review. Before we jump into it, is there any general questions about Chapter 3 material, anything at all? So we can go through, I'll just go through, if there's any comments, we can just go through. Is there any comments on 3.1 or 3.2?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments on 3.1.
Okay.
First paragraph where you use the word compatible. Since all zoning regulations need to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, I thought maybe you'd want to add the word and consistent in that paragraph. These are just suggestions. You can take them or leave them. These are just the thoughts that I had as I read through it.
Yes.
Very educational chapter. I learned a lot. I don't have a lot of CRC experience, so I enjoyed reading those sections. Under areas of environmental concern, first sentence where you cite the administrative code, I'm confused. I don't know. You cite the code, comma, or regulation. What does that mean?
So it's meaning that 15A, NCAC, 7H are the regulations governing development for AECs.
Do you want to say which are the regulations?
That's probably better.
And that's my only comments on 3.1.
You get that? I think consistent is there. I got that. Okay. Yeah. Anyone else? Any comments on 3.2 or 3.3?
I'll go again on 3.2. Some in education, please.
Estuarine
waters, first sentence, within the boundary of North Carolina. Is that the 3-mile boundary? Which boundary?
I guess technically we could clarify that it would be the 3-mile, but the intent of that sentence is just to say that within North Carolina's jurisdiction.
Well, that's why I ask. If it's the three-mile, if estuarine waters include the Atlantic Ocean out to 3 miles, then if you drop down to the second paragraph, the town has no estuarine waters within its planning jurisdiction.
So estuarine are not outside of the, basically not outside of the inlet. You've got your estuarine are basically behind, you know, not your ocean hazard area. So, for example, the river shoreline is estuarine. There is some odd, peculiar areas in the Outer Banks and in Brunswick County where you have an estuarine shoreline that wraps around onto what a lot of people would call the ocean. But there is no estuarine shoreline, you know, out to 3 miles.
They're all defined and described differently in the camera.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. When I read this paragraph, when I read the estuarine water section, and again, my familiarity of CRC issues and definitions and lexicon is limited, but I was left with the impression that there were some estuarine waters seaward of the shoreline, and then I get down to the nitty-gritty, and Matsu has a trump card. And I know Matsu doesn't trump seaward. It trumps up to the buffer. So I was confused by all that.
Sure. And I think, you know, probably this first sentence could be clarified about, you know, the waters of the Atlantic Ocean specifically. But, yeah, I mean, in Curie, and John, you can correct me, I mean, you guys aren't issuing any estuarine because that's all Matsu.
It's ETJ, but it's not billable.
So. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that, and I know that's the case. That first section made me think seaward of the shoreline.
We'll clarify that sentence, make sure that it's clear.
Second paragraph. Staff, do we have a stormwater management plan? I think we do, don't we?
We do.
What's that?
We do.
Because that sentence in the second paragraph, Curie Beach has and will take steps by establishing a stormwater management plan. We have, or okay, it should be established. I mean, we've got it. We don't need to do it.
Okay.
Third minor point, if you look at 311, that's where you spell out NPDES phase two. I think you need to flip-flop those two pages. Spell it out on 3-2 so
yeah,
that you abbreviate it on 311. And that's, I appreciate your indulgence. That's my 3-2 comments.
That's fine. That's why we're here.
I promise I won't monopolize the...
That's fine. Certainly.
I'm actually, if you knew me, you'd see how many red pens I own. I'm actually quite restrained today.
I have a lot of red pens, too.
I think I got negative feelings about red pens, so I don't ever use one.
Well, you just do it on the keyboard, right?
Okay, anyone else on 3-2? We can jump into 3-3. Any questions on 3-3? Comments on 3-3? Comments on 3-4 or 3-5?
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, how do you know about those different sands? I thought that was fascinating. Leon sand, Nuhan fine sand. Who figured all that out?
Many years ago, there were soil surveys prepared by USDA, by soil scientists, a lot smarter people than I, and they've all been digitized now, but there are these little books that used to be all over every, so Alan's familiar with it,
yeah.
Little books, and I don't know how many different soil names there are in North Carolina, but it's got to be in the thousands.
Wow.
There's a reference to a Curie specific sand, mm-hmm. for example.
Curie bean sand.
Are we on to 3.6 and 3.7? Mean to Carolina Beach, but it's pretty interesting, you know, how much more resilient the town is to flooding and storm damage.
Yeah,
I mean, there's been literally twice the number of losses from a flood perspective in Carolina Beach than Curie Beach. Anything on 8 or 9?
We're almost through peak hurricane season.
Yeah.
I sure am.
You said that.
We only get this day.
Yeah, I think Florence was still churning this time 3 years ago.
No, I think it hit today.
Which
today
ended?
Or tomorrow 3 years ago.
It ended today or tomorrow three years ago.
Today or something, yeah.
10 or 11? Right.
11 is where you see that spell out on NCDE.
Questions on 12 or 13?
13, three paragraphs up from the bottom, the parenthetical COE, and then later on that same line, ACOE. Does the parenthetical need an A?
I typically have an A in front of there, but...
Because it's A, just four words later.
Yep, thank you. Questions on 14 or 15?
Again, I apologize. 15, the phrase "in order" is used twice in the same sentence.
On which?
About four lines up, right-hand side, in order to help preserve, yada, 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 each year, in order to protect the nest. Next to the last sentence, on 15.
Okay. Sam, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it.
Under areas containing endangered species.
Yes, got it. Alright. Alright, now for the fun part, the policy section. So, again, many of these policies are carried forward. In fact, nearly all of them are carried forward from your previous plan, modified what we felt necessary based on community survey feedback and so forth and discussion with town staff. So we didn't just pull these out of a hat. A lot of these, for a lot of communities like Town of Cary Beach, are very long-standing policies. So that being said, you know, please jump in here where there's things that are off or you feel need further clarification or tweaking. So any questions on?
Yeah, this is Craig. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Okay. One of the things that I'm kind of curious about, since I'm tangentially related to the geospatial folks at UNCW, I know that Wilmington is right now putting a lot of effort in their geospatial mapping and everything like that. As we look at a lot of what's in Chapter 3, it would seem to me that it might be good to have a section on geospatial data, geospatial mapping. I'm not sure how much we have, but you know, certainly all the other agencies of any significant size is going, you know, definitely towards geospatial mapping. And it just seems to me that we should do something similar. If we haven't done it already, we should maybe consider doing it, because I think this is the appropriate place to put it, because you can capture a lot of what we're talking about in Chapter 3 with some good geospatial mapping.
Can someone explain the term?
I think he's maybe
related referred to or denoting data that is associated with a particular location. I was just looking it up.
Yeah, or geographic information systems. I mean, the one that everyone uses every day is a Google map. It's a map that you can punch in information and show you there's something that's associated with it, not just a piece of paper.
Well, you can certainly get more complicated than that too, because again, you know, the Google Maps is excellent. But you can do a lot more with infrared and a lot of different filtering things to kind of capture some of the issues that we're capturing verbally in this particular chapter. And it's something that I was going to raise in terms of maybe thinking about, you know, we may or may not want to have it in this plan. I think it'd be very appropriate if we have good geospatial data and not just simply a Google Maps satellite map of Cary Beach, but, you know, more sophisticated data analysis. Because I think that would be very useful for the city as well as putting it into the particular plan. But I don't remember us having much work done. We haven't had anybody go over Cary Beach with a drone with different filters and taking pictures, have we?
Well, Craig, what would be an example that you would want to see in here?
Well, you know, for example, when you talk about flood zones and things like that, or you know, moisture, you know, just a regular development map can be captured just with a regular satellite. But, you know, you have a lot of different elements that can be captured with different filters. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, it's hard to describe, but you could certainly capture a lot of sensitive issue. You could talk about new growth areas and ecological growth, damaged areas that you really can't capture with, you know, the regular eyesight. You know, you'd have to use some of these filters. And you can actually get a lot of information about a town, you know, with this these different types of geospatial type of mapping techniques. And it's just something that really is kind of, you know, part of the 21st century, I think, in terms of planning and understanding the city. And, you know, I know we haven't really done it. I mean, we certainly have a map, but we even struggled with trying to get a good map when we talked about the Historic Development Commission, you know, trying to get a good map of what the town looks like. So, you know, we may want to consider some mapping issue. And before this is published, if we can do some mapping, you know, may want to include that into Chapter 3.
And certainly we don't have maps to the level of drones and you know, so forth like that, but there are some maps in there at the end of the chapter that include.
Right. Yeah, but not what I would consider overly sophisticated geospatial type of mapping. I mean, it's certainly a good map, perfectly acceptable, I think, from 20 years ago, you know, and maybe with a satellite vision, but I think we can get a lot more sophisticated. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this now. I'll probably bring it up at the next planning and zoning meeting just to talk about it, but just kind of want to raise the issue that if the town wants to get a little more sophisticated in understanding what it really looks like at many different levels, we may want to do something like this. I know Wilmington is contracted with UNCW, and they're doing a very, very sophisticated geospatial mapping of all Wilmington right now.
Is that with Dr. Hall's?
Yeah, it's with the geospatial group that's over there at UNCW. There's about two or three of them. They're using satellites, but they're also doing a lot of drone work too.
Yeah, I'm familiar. That's definitely a program you guys can, depending on what you want to do. And I've worked pretty closely with Dr. Halls. And
okay, all right, good.
What are they doing it for? What are they mapping, and what is the intent?
Well, there's...
How does that...
It depends. We've tried to incorporate some of their stuff, and we worked on a plan in Pender County, but there wasn't... It is more of a mapping type function versus a policy land use type thing. Now, it can help support decision making, but...
So, for example, they could use a drone and say, here's this block, and there's 7 Airbnbs on it. That's why we don't want Airbnbs in downtown Wilmington, because there's 1,400 homes that are not Airbnbs.
Yeah, I mean, well...
I'm making a joke, but I'm also... Yeah. What's the intent?
Well, so a lot of them, they're studying like saltwater intrusion, for example, into Smith Creek. That's a very important study. You know, for you guys, may not be applicable, for example, the level of saltwater intrusion. They're looking at, they can tell the plant species, and certain plant species thrive on saltwater versus freshwater, and where you have saltwater intrusion, there is these different types of plants. That's just one example. I'm not sure exactly what the project is for City of Wilmington, but I know that they've used drones to look at, for example, in other places in southeastern North Carolina where there's drainage concerns. I also know you guys are contracting with an engineering firm though right now to do drainage mapping. Correct.
Let me give an example of where we could use a drone, for example. When you just look at the effect of high tide versus low tide on the beach, I'm not talking about erosion because that's over time, but simply looking at the high tide versus low tide, you could have a drone go up every hour, for example, and map it and actually, capture a lot of very interesting things to look and see how the tide intrusion is taking place on an hourly basis. But that's simply one example. But again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but it's something that I kind of wanted to raise because I know that some of the towns are kind of doing some very interesting things, and we may want to consider it too. But again, we can talk about that in a different form.
Well, and I think it bears perhaps there's a recommended action or something that if this committee felt like it was important to put into the plan to pursue partnership with UNCW or some type of grant funds to identify...
Consider application for,
future geospatial projects or whatever it may be.
And I see it being a topic for our annual planning retreat.
Yeah.
To make sure we want what type of funds are going to be needed.
But I think that's the solution, just a recommended action considering the application.
We'll make a note of that.
On the 317 for utilities, we've been working with Duke Energy on kind of like the magnitude, scale of magnitude for underground utilities, for Fury Beach. They have given us some preliminary numbers. The number is huge, of course. But some way some of this wording is, although when things are damaged, Kiri Beach may not have a say-so of how it gets put back, because if it's from the pole to the building or to, on the property, yes, in most cases. John, I believe we're going underground on the new construction.
Yes.
But anything that's owned by Duke Energy or not owned by the town don't have a lot of say-so.
Right.
Unless they want to spend a lot of money. But also in the, 3.1D, we're not going to have a lot of say-so of how it gets put back, because the town doesn't own it. It's Duke Energy, and they're going to put it back, get power back on, and that's it. For construction projects, that's part of what we're talking about, to see what the scale of magnitude, and it's a lot of money, for, long-term, investment. Is it good? Yes, but it's not going to happen quickly.
Yeah, I can't remember the last estimate that I heard, but it was, I don't know what they're talking about per half mile or...
But you can't, there's so many unknowns, because you still have Okay, Duke gives you kind of a ballpark estimate to do that. Engineering has to be done to really nail down the price. And you got to deal with, you know, your cable. You got to deal with your telephone lines, your internet, anything else that's tied on to the pole. That's another cost that's not being considered. There's also, when you do projects like this, there's always nice to have. So it'd be nice to have a sidewalk here now. As I've been part of construction all my whole life, those things happen because it just makes sense to do it when you do underground utilities. So there's a lot of hidden costs in when you do this, but the number is so big it probably scares a lot of people, so you have to do it in
phases.
Kind of bite-sized pieces and over long term and see where we can get funding and stuff like that.
So I think we'll make a clarification on that, certainly.
I just wouldn't want you to be put there and say, you know, the town can encourage, but it's going to be at somebody's expense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was reading this earlier, and I probably should have caught it on 3.1D. I think, you know, some of the intent of this, too, is it's not just, you know, above-ground utilities, but also your water and sewer infrastructure. So if you've got, you know, a pump station that's not elevated or not flood-protected, et cetera, that's, you know.
Of course, you know, there are a lot of things, you know, for your infrastructure that needs to be considered. And some of those town has full control over to make those, but as far as, you know, power utilities with Duke Energy and, you know, the cable and phone lines and everything else, limited.
Chris, I have some comments on 317.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump around a little bit. 31F, recommended action 31F1. Really like the use of consider because that's discretionary. Number two on that same provision, I learned the hard way. It took me 3 or 4 years as a new lawyer to learn to mimic the language instead of coming up with my own language. So, given that, I think it's important to stick to the legal lexicon because it's persuasive. So instead of development ordinances, and this is a global point that I'm making, throughout this section, these goals and recommended actions, I think it ought to be development regulations, which is 160D consistent.
Got it.
Going down two paragraphs, 31H, in opposing incompatible development, the town opposes hazardous, noxious, and dangerous facilities. And maybe I'm missing a point here, but incompatible development would include a host of things that are not necessarily hazardous, noxious, or dangerous. Could be too much density, for example. Could be inconsistent with the historic district. So you might want to consider that. But my final point, going back up to the discretionary language of consider, if you would indulge me and go to 319, in the middle of the page you see recommended action 32D2, and you also see at the bottom recommended action 32F1. This is almost obligatory, pursue. I don't want to be in a position of, there was one in particular.
Consider pursuing.
Sure. I don't want to be in the position of the town being sued because somebody points to the comprehensive plan and says, well, you said you're going to do this, but you didn't do it.
Sure.
And one of them, oh, here it is. It's on 320. Recommended action 32L1. Seek funds from the Clean Water Management Trust Fund to fix identified stormwater problems. Stormwater drainage litigation is only going to increase over time, and I don't want to be in the position of the town not having sought those funds.
Sure.
Consider seeking funds. I think consider captures all that you need to capture. And again, that shows up throughout. The points that I just made show up throughout this section. So I didn't highlight the only ones, just highlighted the concerns. Thank you.
Okay, so we got a couple changes on 317. Anything else on 316 or 317? All right. 318 or 319?
Again, the points I made show up on those two pages as well in various places. You don't need me to point them all out.
Yes, particularly with reference to development ordinance.
Yeah, that's one. Shows up twice, for example, on top of 319 development regulations. You got two pursues at the bottom of 19.
Anything else on 18 or 19? And on 320.
Yeah, both of the recommended actions. 32L1, 32L2. I'd use the word consider in there somewhere.
Anything else on 3-20? Anything else on the text material from that chapter? And we will be replacing these maps for chapter 3. There are no road labels on there. You may or may not have noticed it, but I certainly did. And we will certainly add street names here. Not all the street names, but just enough so most of you probably know what's what, but some people looking at this may not know the particular streets.
Is it possible to turn it sideways so it's different?
Ah, yes. So that north would face the other way. And so I think we could consider doing that so that you'd have more jurisdiction on the map.
Originally it was in part of Fort Fisher Sea Beach in 1947, but once the lawsuit came in, they confiscated the land.
I have a question for John. John, on map 3-4 that shows the Matsu buffer zone, all that green, the last map.
Yes.
What are those beige pockets inside there? The beige pockets where it's not green inside the buffer. I'm just kind of curious.
I was wondering the same thing, but that's all buffer.
It's all buffer. But
now the Air Force Base is at the very south.
That's the area, yeah.
The middle one is where a lagoon is. The only one that's a question is the north one. I mean, there's a ditch there, it looks like. It's probably going to be... That's the That's the old Dow plan in there, John.
I guess that could be why it's not colored in.
Because that's the ditch where they cut all the trees in between.
I mean, it's still all buffer, though.
Yeah, it's still all buffer, but that's the Air Force Base lagoon and...
The one above the... One between the lagoon and the Air Force Base, what is that?
A radar post there.
It's Moran, right?
Yep.
Is that like a fire road or something going through
there? It's Davis Beach Road, and it goes to a radar facility that hasn't been operational in years, but there's still people that go to work down there every day.
Huh.
Sure. I don't know what that does.
Well, this stuff going on?
So, yeah, it's all buffer area, just not considered to be a natural heritage area. Per se. That's a good question.
My final comment is I thought there were several instances where will could have been replaced by shall, and therefore I found it interesting when I got to the definitions that shall is defined. So you might want to look at all, find and replace so you can consider all the wills, whether any of them should be shall. Again, appreciate your patience with my comments.
Good comments. I hope there doesn't come a day in North Carolina where these things are litigated like they are in other states.
Well, we'll be ready.
On map 3-3, there's the red area, human impacted. I guess that would be probably careful. Why is that labeled human impacted?
What does that mean? Is that defined?
That's what these are DCM wetland maps, and what they typically would define as what was historically a wetland that has since been filled or built upon or some other impact.
Where is Pocosin discussed in the beginning?
Pocosin?
Pocosin.
Should be in... Pocosin is where you're likely to have a 404 wetland. Most, and potentially your... I call it Pocosin.
Do you know what page Pocosin is discussed?
Looks like it's 314.
314?
Yeah. Right above table 3.7.
And human impact it is defined as well in 314.
Is there somewhere, am I remembering correctly that, or incorrectly? Yeah, if you look at the table, 3.7, types of non-coastal wetlands in Curie Beach, Pocosin 0, is that correct?
In the incorporated area. In the ETJ there
All
is.
All right, so those, the map, the 3.3 Pocosins are in the buffer.
Yes, sir.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Any other questions about this material?
Like I said, I thought it was well laid out. I actually took the time to read it very carefully and enjoyed it. It was very informative.
Yeah, for some folks, I don't know that it's enjoyable reading material. But
good if you're having trouble falling asleep.
Yeah, it's good if you're having trouble falling asleep.
Oh, one more thing. Acknowledgement page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I mentioned before, but me, town attorney, but more importantly, it looks like you've listed all the public bodies, even though they're not, those public bodies are certainly inputting. HPC, or Historic Preservation Commission, is not doing much input into this. Should they be on the acknowledgments, or is it appropriate to leave them off?
They certainly can be. Typically, we put the boards that are going to advise on it.
That's fine. I didn't know if you were giving credit to all the public bodies or focusing on the land planning input.
Just, you know, because this committee will make a recommendation, planning and zoning will, and then council.
I got it.
Will.
Just wanted to check on that.
But that's a good question.
Our HPC is pretty good.
That's what I hear. Anybody else, or is there any other questions in general about this material? We will incorporate those changes, they'll be part of that final draft that'll be given to you in the next couple months. Again, let's see.
How many chapters are we going to have all together?
You'll have six total, so you've already got half of them. So we're moving right along. Chapter 4, we will have to you at the latest on the 28th. And so the next meeting we're looking to have in December per our schedule.
Our next meeting is in December?
Yes, the next time that we will meet with you all will be in December. We'll see. We'll talk with Mandy and Beth, depending on our schedules, we might be able to do.
So in December was when you would discuss Chapter 4 and distribute
yes.
5
yep.
and possibly 6?
Yeah, 5 and 6 would be distributed. So in December you would have in your possession the full plan, per se.
So as a committee, will we cancel October, November? I mean, those are scheduled meetings.
They are scheduled, so I can just cancel. I can cancel October and November.
Let's definitely cancel, I think, October, and then we'll be tentative on November, depending on our schedule load. And I think we should hope to know that in the next 2 weeks. So.
Okay, just let me know and I can.
And Wes, what, I know without going back and looking at 160D and the town code, I do recall that planning and zoning has a pretty major role. I can't remember, are we gonna do our work and then feed it to them?
Yeah, so this committee will make sure that the plan is how you want it. Then the full draft will go to PNZ.
So LUPC's draft is what is when PZC starts to get involved.
Yes, sir. And then you know, we'll, much like we've done, you know, we'll figure out how that'll be handled logistically. Likely they'll be given a hard copy and, you know, a month or whatever it is, whatever, however long the group feels like they need comfortable, and then I'll come and, you know, we'll be present and we'll go through the document to their heart's content. If they need 2 meetings or 3 meetings or whatever we need to, they'll make whatever changes they need to make, and then they'll recommend it to town council.
Do you see PZC having any public legislative hearings on it?
Not unless they want to. It's not
so it's really just input with you all.
And then just a thought, 2 of your land use plan committee members are already on
which is a good thing. So
you're kind of already getting some
so it won't be just completely new. And then once PNZ recommends it for approval, that's when it's sent to Division of Coastal Management, their district planner, and they do their consistency review, and they make sure that we've included everything that's required per statute.
And that's before council gets it?
The council can be given it. You know, they can get it.
Consider and act on it after.
But, and believe me, this has been problematic in other communities because they want the material and they want to make changes before DCM gets it. But the way the law says is it goes to the planning board or P&Z, then it goes to the district planner. He doesn't make changes. He just makes sure that you've checked the boxes.
And I don't recall, does the governing board hold a public hearing on it?
Yes.
After DCM weighs in?
Yes, and there's technically 2 public hearings.
Two?
Well, you have the what is in 113, which is for adoption of a CAMA land use plan to qualify, and that's a 30-day notice. And then now with 160D, we've got the 10 and 25 legislative.
Can you combine them?
We can combine them, absolutely. Actually, no, you're going to have to run them twice because you got one 30 days out, and then you got another one that can't be more than 25.
So you do come down to two public hearings?
It can be at one meeting, but the town's going to have to pay
two
twice.
Notices, yeah.
Yeah.
And the notice is primarily published as opposed to?
Published, not mailed.
Okay. Thanks.
I'll work to make sure everybody's, you know, we've got example notices. We also correspond with our DCM district planner to make sure our notice is sufficient to their liking, but I have a good relationship with him. And
what was the CAMA chapter, 113?
113. I think it's 113-110, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
All right, thank you.
It's the environmental. Too many references. Okay. For some reason, I thought we were going to be meeting before December, but it's very likely that we will, depending on what happens here. COVID has been difficult for some of our staff, so it has kind of slowed things down. Any questions about where we are, where we're going, what we've got so far, anything in general? Questions for me?
This is Craig again. No, I think it's been a great job, and Jim, I'm glad you asked the question about the P&Z, because I know that is an issue for one of our members that we can talk about next time. Okay. So I think that clarified everything.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all. That's all I have. I really appreciate everyone's time this evening, and we'll see you, you know, depending on how things fall here in November or December.
Thank you, Wes.
Can you adjourn the meeting?
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.